Hello, this is Noelle Madison, just a typical ADHDer. I'm trying to post every Tuesday now. I've done it twice in a row, even if it's Tuesday night. So we'll see how that goes. This episode is going to talk more about Gotham, the TV show that's basically a prequel to the Batman universe. It goes on its own path and creates its own canon, as some people have pointed out, but it still features a baby Batman, pre-Batman, in the city of Gotham. The first two episodes where I talk about the show, I describe how I actually haven't seen the entire thing because I've just watched scenes, but many, many scenes. I've done a lot of research and looked at a lot of stuff behind the scenes. I've watched and read many reviews. The first episode, I discuss stuff I don't like, and I also describe how I'm not particularly familiar with the comics, so I'm not pressed when they change things. The second episode does feature a few rants, but it also praises the show a little bit more and discusses some of the positive aspects of the series and why I'm so interested in it. And in this episode, I'll probably talk primarily about the character the Penguin, because he's one of the biggest characters in the whole series, and a lot of people agree that he's the breakout of the show. Gotham, the TV series, ran from, I think, the end of 2014 to just this year, and each season was maybe 20, 22 episodes, and then this season was truncated. It's extremely uneven and has a lot of problems that I talk about more, like I said in the other episodes, but it also can be very entertaining. I fully agree with those who say that the show would have been canceled early on, probably in season one, if it weren't for this character of the Penguin and how he was portrayed by the actor Robin Lord Taylor. The character's real name is Oswald Cobblepot. He's a character in the comic books. He's much older in the comics and a little bit different, but this is showing his rise to infamy. It's funny because as I watched the series, I initially skipped his scenes, and a lot of scenes, either because they were too slow, or I wasn't interested in the characters, or in the case of him and the Riddler, another character, I felt like they were too creepy. Some of his scenes were also too predictable in the sense that some random person will insult him and underestimate him because he's at this point this young and sniveling skinny man, and then he lashes out at them because he's really sensitive to being insulted and far more vicious than they think. And this happens many times, and I felt like, okay, I get the idea. But mainly it was because he was so creepy in season one. So much about him is conveyed in the first scene he appears in. He's just a side character. He holds the umbrella for a character that they made up for the show, who was not in the comics, called Fish Mooney, and she's played by Jada Pinkett Smith. A lot of her scenes were way too slow for my taste, but I still love her as a character, and I love her presence. And all he does for her is hold her umbrella and maybe perform a few miscellaneous tasks. But we see him standing next to her in the rain, holding the umbrella over her hair, and there are a few other large thugs around beating on a guy who owes her money or who has been stealing money from her. So she roughs him up, she hits him with a baseball bat a little bit, and his face is so fascinated and gleeful. He gets so distracted that he neglects his duty of covering his boss's hair with the umbrella. And when she leaves, the bigger thugs who have been there for longer say, "Hey, you want to give it a shot, young man?" It's especially Butch Gilzean, who plays a big role throughout the series. He hands him the baseball bat in a real friendly way, like this is a young rookie just learning the ropes, which he is. And Penguin replies in kind, basically, "Gee, mister, thank you so much, really, I'd be honored." And he starts tentatively tapping at this guy with the baseball bat. And one of the podcasts I listened to, my favorite Gotham podcast, Random Tea Podcasts, interpreted this as sort of shyness and inexperience, but I didn't at all, because he clearly delights in what he's doing, and he doesn't want to start off big. He wants to start small and just kind of jab him in the shoulder, which the guy reacts to and sends him into gleeful fits of laughter until he decides to escalate the beating, laughing maniacally the whole time like a kid who saw a whole bunch of candy, to the point that even the thugs tell him to take it easy. And one of them derogatorily calls him Penguin. I assume it's because he has kind of a sharp nose, he's pale, he has black hair that sort of sticks up like a bird, and he wears a nice, if oversized, black suit. Later, he becomes known as the Penguin because he gains a limp. Now, because I missed so many of these scenes, I didn't realize that, spoilers, Fish Mooney beats him so badly that his leg breaks and never properly heals, so from then on, he has this limp. But I don't really like that idea, especially since in the show, they don't prominently show him walking around without a limp before that. So I kind of assume in my head that he had this from the time he was young, because I find it strange that for one, he adjusts so quickly to the disability, and two, that of all the ludicrous medical science and magic in this show, where people can grow back hands, they can be raised from the dead, they can be sewn together, that he never had his leg repaired. Which to me, if he's so used to that, he doesn't really need it. I mean, even in the show, he moves as well as anybody else. It's just with a very obvious limp. It gives him pain, so it still is a disability in that sense, of course. But again, I feel like if he really were so used to it, and it would also make more sense as to why people call him Penguin as opposed to him wearing a black suit, and why he hates the name so much before he eventually adopts it. Part of why this scene is so uncomfortable to watch is because, yes, sure, loads of these villains are extremely sadistic, but in this case, he is just an underling. He is a really low-status criminal, and we don't know much about him other than that he's new and kind of weirdly polite and nicely dressed. It's not just the fact that he enjoys just a little bit of power way too much, and that as soon as he gets a taste of power over somebody, he completely misuses it. It's because he doesn't even have the sense to hide his excitement over it. On the one hand, it doesn't matter too much because these are all criminals here. They're all pretty evil and cruel. But even they find him unsettling in how far he's willing to go. And to me and to many people, that lack of awareness mixed with what Penguin actually does have, which is an ability to predict many situations and to read a lot of people and to figure out their desires in order to manipulate them, it's really creepy because it's so intemperate, I guess. It's so unrestrained and it's so disconnected from other people, I suppose, and from social norms. It's like he only has a vague sense of what's socially acceptable. This isn't necessarily a bad thing, but in this case, it happens to be a sign of his extreme megalomania and this idea that the world revolves around him. I ended up going back to the beginning of the show to rewatch his scenes. I think it was at the point when I started watching more scenes with him and Riddler, because the Riddler is a major Batman villain. Both the Penguin and Riddler are. And they started to have a romance between them, basically. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is brilliant. These two major bad guys falling in love, working together, especially since in this version, these guys were both these skinny outsiders who were considered freaks by those around them. They were both very elitist and looked down on people who they perceived as more stupid than themselves, which was almost everybody. And both of them very dramatic in a way, in this version, because the Penguin is extremely histrionic when he gets the chance to be and is allowed to be. When he has power, he just lets his emotions fly. And he gets very attached to people, very few people, but he has this obsessive need to be loved and admired, and the Riddler does as well. Everybody does, and if that's twisted in a narcissistic way, it's pathological. And the Riddler has these weird romantic fantasies where he goes after women who are definitely too good for him, like they're not actually horrible murderers, and thinks that things are going to be perfect when he somehow figures out how to court this woman. At that point in the series, again, more spoilers, the Riddler had embraced his dark side, so it was slightly less eerie because it was more on the surface and it wasn't something that he was almost fighting against, and that was just something that you had to worry about and dread coming in the future. And Penguin at that point had gone through so many horrible things that he became a bit more endearing. Also, once he started to gain more and more power, he didn't need to use subterfuge quite as much. He still did, of course, but it was more out in the open and less this sort of creepy, insinuating feeling that he would evoke in the way that he used people. Chris Winkle, with the Miscreants podcast and on their website, wrote a great article about ways to make your villain likable, and she used Penguin from Gotham as an example. He fits the trope of an underdog. So even though he's extremely despicable, the fact that he has to overcome so much and that he suffers so much makes him easier to sympathize with. When he gets tortured and becomes helpless or grief-stricken, it was really hard for me to remember, and I'm usually a very judgmental person, that he didn't entirely not deserve this. He had tortured and murdered countless people, but Robin Lord Taylor did such a good job of portraying a huge range of emotions that it was hard not to feel for this pathetic figure. He also has a lot of positive qualities, like how calculated and intelligent he can be. He can also make huge mistakes, which makes him continue to be identifiable. And he is extremely resilient. Several people compare him to a cockroach because he absolutely ridiculously continually defies death. And they probably shouldn't have used that trope too much in the show. They certainly overuse that with him, and they end up using it with almost everybody, but there's still something believable about his iron will and his almost immunity to all of the pain and horrors that he's gone through. He does almost break a few times. In fact, I would say he does break several times, but he's just so determined to make something of himself in a massive way that he is able to overcome every obstacle thrown at him. Or he is helped by people because he can use his patheticness. He's small, thin, kind of seems, I mean, to me he seems extremely freaky, but to a lot of people in Gotham who have faced all sorts of horrendous characters, he seems pretty unthreatening. And so many of them are either guilted into helping him or decide to help him as a project, or because he's able to manipulate them into, you know, he'll give them something they want and they will help him in return. One of the reasons he's such an integral character to Gotham is because he kind of represents the city. At one point early on, he returns after he's been cast out and he smiles at all the crime he sees. He's at home and he swears that he's going to make Gotham his many times. He predicts a bloodbath and a war between the gangs that he is going to make sure happens. So he has this despicable but somehow compelling quality that draws a lot of people in just as much as it makes them want to kill him. And it's kind of like the city itself, where instead of just leaving, which would be the smart thing to do, a lot of the characters stay in hopes of cleaning it up. And a lot of this could be bad writing. In fact, a lot of elements with his character, I'm sure, are really weird and inconsistent, but the way the actor portrays him and the tone of the show overall can make some of this work. But just how Gotham itself seems to draw people in who want to conquer it or fix it, it has an addictive quality. Against all reason, really. His character is also the catalyst for many Batman supervillains, or as they call them in the show, and I've mentioned freaks. A lot of people call them freaks and even monsters at one point. And he almost single-handedly orchestrates the destruction of the old Gotham Order, which was already really horrible. It was extremely corrupt, run by bullies, mob bosses, and it had kind of law and order, but it was dictated by a few people. So it wasn't actually legal law and order, it was just the law of the mob bosses. But after Penguin was sure to get rid of all of them, essentially, the way was paved for much more unpredictable villains. And at one point, Penguin even complains about this. He talks about, oh, there used to be some sort of honor amongst the thieves here and blah, blah, blah. People nowadays are only into chaos, like versions of the Joker, as though he wasn't the one who completely upended all of that. He had no honor. He went behind everybody's backs and stabbed them all. Now, I have already gone on for so long about Penguin that I am actually planning to split this podcast into two. So there should be another one about him, and I think that one will probably focus on his relationships and his need for admiration. So this is ending kind of abruptly, but I want to thank you for listening, and I hope that you have a good day. Goodbye!